أربعة للبودكاست.
Hello, this is Smyer A team tour guide, and unfortunately, I missed my flight. I overslept, and the first thing I knew was that the flight left without me. Ironic, isn't it? But nevertheless, I'm going to make the best out of this situation, and I'm going to do a little tour here until the next flight comes. I'm here in Arizona, the Grand Canyon State. Some people might say that Arizona is nothing more than a big desert and it is not that interesting. And here, I disagree because there's a lot of incredible places here. You just haven't seen them yet. And this is where my word comes. Let's hit the road, shall we? One of the important things to have a great time in Arizona is to come prepared. And what I mean by that is you bringing plenty of water, wearing sun protection, and wearing comfortable clothes, as well as comfortable shoes. Because we're going to do a lot of walking and hiking here, and lastly, having some snacks. All together, all the time, because if you're hungry, you're not going to enjoy anything, and we don't want that. Our first destination is Monument Valley. Fun fact about this place is that it is in Foley in Arizona. You can think of it as two places in one. The first part of the valley is in Utah, but the second part where the most famous rocks are is in Arizona. If I could describe Monument Valley in a sentence, I would say it's a cluster of sandstone buttes. You might ask yourself, what's a butte anyway? No need to Google it, I'll tell you. It actually comes from a French word, which means in English an isolated hill with steep, often with vertical sides and relatively flat at the top. Buttes are usually smaller landforms than mesas and plateaus. And one of the most buttes here is Elephant Butte. As the name suggesting, it is shaped like an elephant, and it is an excellent option if you want to see the rock formations outside the standard view. You might not be able to climb it, but you can do the next better thing. You can walk to its base and admire the natural landmark. It is so crowded right now, so I guess I'll continue walking. It is a well-known fact that producers like to film some scenes of their movies in Arizona, especially action movies. One of those producers is John Ford. You can recognize these buttes from his movies with June Wine. Did you know that they named the place after him? There's an actual spot called Jones Ford's Point. And this is one of the reasons for this crowd. People always want to come and take pictures next to the place their favorite actors walked in. But there's much more to this place than excited fans. It is occupied by a tribe of Native Indian Americans called the Navajo. I think there are about 100 of them living here. Yet they're so friendly and they usually open their hearts to the tourists and even do the tours for them. They invest in their lands by opening their hearts to the visitors from all over the world. You see that hotel over there? That is the View Hotel, which they built all by themselves for anyone who wanted to spend the night there. Lovely, isn't it? All this talking worked up my appetite. I think I'm going to get something from the roadside vendors over there. Good afternoon. I would like a Navajo taco, please. Thank you. You see, my friends, one of the biggest joys of traveling is trying different food. The Navajo people are very famous for their strong flavors. This is just fried bread shell topped with chili beans, lettuce, tomatoes, and onions. But my goodness, it tastes so good! Oh, look! There's some souvenirs over there for sale. There are nutter heads, turquoise jewelry, dream catchers, and other handicraft native artifacts. Oh, look! There was something on them. Buy local, buy Navajo. Well, that's a good advertisement if you ask me. I think I should buy some, a lot of them. Nah, I don't have space in my bag. I'll do it next time. Anyway, let's get going to our next destination. You know, my friends, Arizona almost didn't exist. You see, many years ago, after the wars had ended and the world started changing, U.S. Sunbelt metropolises like L.A., Las Vegas, Phoenix, Denver, and Albuquerque didn't have enough water nearby to support their populations of millions of people. And the only thing that saved them was Colorado River, hundreds of miles away. The government built a plumbing system spanning half the continent and stores the river's water between tall canyon walls, then delivers it under entire mountain ranges, and even pumps it uphill all to supplement the water supplies of many cities and farmlands in California, Colorado, Arizona, and more. And the plumbing system is called the Glen Canyon Dam, and it is also has led to creating the second biggest human-made lake, and one of the most visited ones as well. That lake is called Lake Powell. The lake stretches from the Glen Canyon Dam nearly 200 miles up the Colorado River into Utah. Usually when we're visiting a lake, we just take a little tour around and that's it. But in Lake Powell, it is a different story because you get to do many and many things. For starters, you can water hike. I guess you never heard of that. Or maybe have you? Basically, it's an activity when I'm pulled behind a boat over the water and I have to keep my balance so I don't fall. And if I thought about it, it's just much easier than ice skating. Even if I fell, I'd fall into water less painful than cold ice, obviously. Another fun activity I can do here is boat tour. I can either go exploring myself or I can go to that marina over there. And they'll be taking me on an amazing tour. This lake is magnificent. From outside and inside, there's so many secret coves and creatures and small sandy beaches to explore. You see, one of the creatures I can find here is game fish, including walleye, bass, and catfish. Right below the Glen Canyon Dam, and that is why the Powell Lake is one of the most popular fishing destinations in Arizona, some people try to fish on the shore, and some others get on a boat and go look for others in the coves. The water's almost got me. Kayak is also very popular here, and it is more fun if you have a friend or a family member. And I do highly recommend you to do it because it's such an abundant opportunity. Before I leave, I would like to see one more last amazing thing in this lake, and that is Rainbow Bridge. It is one of the largest known natural bridges in the world. It will take me 2 hours and a half to get there because it is located in the edge of the lake. Okay, after crossing multiple bays and more canyons that you could count, we have reached the mouth of the Forbidden Canyon. Now I'll have to get out of the boat and do some hiking until I see the Rainbow Bridge. It's not that hard. Just 2 mile round trip. It will take me 30 minutes to get through the bridge. And a little tip, focus on the breathtaking canyon and the refreshing air. Oh, I'm starting to see it. I'm almost there. Whoa, finally I have arrived, and it is very big. It is 290 feet tall and spans over 275 feet across. Sadly, I cannot go under the bridge because it is considered sacred by the Navajo. Of course, the Navajo culture considered as a symbol of deities responsible for creating clouds, rainbows, and rain, the essence of life in the desert. You know, the best time to see the bridge is at night or at sunset. Imagine the sky is orange and the clouds are just... Oh my god, just imagining it makes me feel relaxed. I'll have to take a picture here. Now I'll have to go back because I've got so many amazing places to visit. If you thought that I'm done with the unique sights and gorgeous destinations, then I'm glad to tell you that there are some other more. This place cannot be imagined or described. You'll have to see it by yourself. It is called the White Bucket. Simple words, huh? For a white desert. But, as I've seen in the Lake Powell and the Monument Valley, words cannot describe the beauty of Arizona. Not even close. So, let's hit the road. It's gonna be a long ride, about 6 hours. Thank God I rent this truck. The road is extremely tricky, and it isn't for the faint of heart or those without a proper 4x4 vehicle with high clearance, because the road is very sandy with deep grooves on both sides. A low clearance car without 4x4 is likely to get stuck here. It is highly recommended to take a tour if you didn't have a truck or an appropriate SUV so that you don't stress yourself out. You know, my friends, I really do like driving, but those roads are very tricky. Thank God I'm going to hike the rest of the way. I might have noticed that there are a lot of people camping here in the parking lot. It's actually allowed to do that, and they pick this spot so they can have more and more privacy. That is why I told you to bring water with you. All this walking and hiking driving me crazy. And here we are doing more and more hiking. Come on, Esma. You can do it. It's only half a mile. Okay, Esma. You can do it. You can do it. It's only half a mile. Yeah. There we go. I did it. I'm sure you have wondered why they called it the White Bucket. And as a matter of fact, the name comes from the unique geological formations and colorations found in the area. Just look in front of you. White, red sandstone, uniting together in patterns. Isn't that beautiful? It is like it snowed in here. And look at these colors. Brown, orange, red, yellow, white, all in one rock. And it is like a color palette. And over there, you can see hoodoos. They are tall thin spires of rock that protrude from the ground, formed by the differential erosions of the surrounding rock layers. My friends, did you know that there were a lot of mines here? Gold, silver, you name it. I can see a pile of petrified wood over there. It is a fossilized wood that has undergone the process of mineralization over time. The petrified wood can be found scattered throughout the area, adding a touch of ancient history to the landscape. God, I can't stop taking pictures. Now it is time for me to get back, but not to the airport, but to one last amazing place. Come on. Have you ever imagined living in an apartment built into a cliff? It is just crazy to think of it. Am I right? But 900 years ago, the Sanagua people did just that and built Montezuma Castle. Nobody knows exactly why they built their castle that high. But there's a theory going around that suggests that Sanagua settled there to be near Beaver Creek, which flows alongside the cliff. Experts theorize that the castle was built so high into the cliff to protect it from periodic flooding from the creek. And of course, after many years, it's still one of the most visited places. There are already people hiking up there. You know, back in the 1950s, people were allowed to get inside the castle and explore it. But in 1951, the number of visitors reached 50,000 people a year. Can you imagine the number? Which concerned the administrators, so they decided to end these visits once and for all. And they said it was for the best, and that they wanted to protect the castle from being loved to death. They said that because you actually hike to get to the castle, there is no bridge or even a path to it. You just need to hike. And it is not just dangerous to hike to the castle, but it is not easy either. And if you're a beginner, you could easily fall and get yourself injured. And with that, my friends, I will end this recorded tour because my flight is waiting for me and I don't want to miss it again. I might be going for a while, so you probably won't hear from me. And until we meet again, I would like you to tell me what places you wish to go. And see you soon again. That was me, Esma, producing this episode for you, Laban Mohamed in the script writing, and finally, Ahmed Maher in the audio engineering. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast and share this episode with your friends and beloved ones. If you have any comments, you can drop them to our emails in the details box. See you soon!